All right, if you remember last week, I stated, and hopefully it's starting to sink in now, no biblical vision or goal for the present or future state of ourselves when we have no goal, no vision, what's left then? But the desire for foolish attempts to stop the groaning, that you remember that groaning out of Romans 8, that groaning that's in our heart, we try to meet it in the flesh and do something outside of God. And so this morning I want to just read the vision that Paul is casting to the Thessalonians. And let's read it together. I'm going to do the white and you read the yellow. For they themselves declare concerning us and how you turn to God from idols. And here we come to the vision. And to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Boy, what a great set of verses. So I want to quickly review what we've gone over, and then I'm going to go on in to talk about the wrath. Number one, we wait by loving and serving him, right? I love Mark 10:30. It's a part based on our vision in this church, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. Number two, we wait by loving and serving others. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom, only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Did you get that? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then number three, we wait for his coming. And we talked about this last week for the rapture. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then I love the Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then number four, along with that, is this. We wait for our changed or our new body. Right? It's the old one that keeps corrupting us, and we can't wait for that. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only that, but even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. No more biorhythms being out of sorts, right? We wait for that changed body. Our waiting for his Son, Satan tempts us and renders us useless if he can during this time if we don't see that vision. Like the verse says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I want to switch gears, and we're going to watch a video. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about the day of wrath. All right? Hopefully. Yeah, there it goes. Okay, that's not biorhythms, that's just ignorance. Okay, all right. Yeah, the Christian world would like to scare us to death that we're headed for the tribulation and all these times are coming in. And, you know, we see things happening, and I think we're in the latter times of the body of Christ, but who knows when that day will be. And yet, the video, even though it was good, instills a bit of fear. Like, you know, when it's saying every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, haven't you already done that? Yeah, we're going to maybe be in heaven and watch those who don't, who have denied Christ, have to get on their knees and say, yep, you are Lord. And that's going to be a great day. But I want to talk about this coming wrath, this day of wrath. And I want to see what the Bible says about it and where we are. Because we aren't waiting for God's wrath. We are waiting for the rapture. Amen? Amen? And the Bible says that we're going to be delivered from his wrath to come. Now, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The word deliver there is an unusual word because it's not our usual word for saved or rescued. Paul uses a specific word meaning to deliver us from an acute or severe situation or event. He delivers us from the wrath to come. And so this acute, severe situation, the coming wrath, what is he talking about here? Well, you know, when I thought about this, my first thought goes back to my early gradehood days where for a Christmas present, I got a crystal radio set. Now, how many guys know what a crystal radio set? You're going to be pretty old if you know. Okay, all right. Yeah, it was a batteryless, I guess. I can invent words, can I? Radio set. You strung a wire across the eave, and then you brought it in, and you could pick up a radio station if there's one within maybe 10 miles. And so the only radio program I could get was KGDD in King's Garden, a Christian radio in north of Seattle. And every preacher that preached in those days, and you guys who are older, you'll know, always preached God's wrath. The person that could preach God's wrath the best was the best preacher. And so I would listen to that, and he would tell us that the road was narrow and the road to hell was wide, and most everybody listening was on that wide road and not on the narrow road. And so he told me as a kid I was headed for hell. And I'm thinking, what, God, why am I going to hell? Just a little kid. See, and the wrath meant, and they would describe hell, right? White hot, or it was so hot it's black, or whatever it be. And so my first thought would be, I'm going to hell. I don't know how to straighten that out. And you may have heard those things, and you don't know whether they were talking about hell or maybe they were even talking about the tribulation. So I want to look at a few other verses that Paul has in his letters so that we can kind of define what he means by the wrath to come. So let's just take a look at that. First, I want to look at Romans chapter 2. And by the way, this is going to be more of a lecture type sermon today. I'll make an application at the end, but I think we need a little learning here. Okay. Romans 2, 5, and Paul is specifically addressing the Jew in Romans chapter 2. You find by verse 17, he says, and you being a Jew, and so during that second chapter, he says this, but in accordance with your hardness and your unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath or anger in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, that's pretty tough words, isn't it? He isn't speaking to us as Gentiles. He's speaking to the Jew. And what is this day of wrath and righteous judgment? Well, we know that the wrath is the great tribulation. And so he's describing the tribulation, and then he describes the judgment, which is over 1,000 years later, when Jesus sits on the throne and opens the books, and he says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. from whose faith the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into what? The lake of fire. Yeah. That's the final judgment. And Paul tells his fellow Jews in Romans 2 that there's going to be a day of wrath and a final judgment, which they already knew from the Old Testament. Here's another verse from Paul later in the Thessalonians letter in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. He says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain or experience salvation or a rescue through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a lot of times we assume that when the Bible has the word salvation, it always has to do with being saved and going to heaven and not hell, right? Okay, so I want to give you a quick example. Ladies, you'll love this, okay? It's in 1 Timothy 2:13 through 15, because I want to dispel that. Anytime you see salvation in the Bible, you have to look at the context, right? You have to look at the context. Is he talking about salvation? Okay. Is he not talking about salvation? Then we need to understand that. So I want to give you one where he's not talking about salvation. 1 Timothy 2:13 through 15. And he's talking about authority, how the husband is head over the wife, and so on and so forth. And so he says this in verse 13, "For Adam was first was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if she continue in faith, love, holiness, and self-control." Now, if that means hell, we're in trouble here, aren't we, ladies? Okay, that means that any woman that hasn't had a child is going to hell. Do you see that? Okay, what's the answer? Okay, well, if we take what the word really means, and that's rescue, she is rescued from what? Authority. That's what the passage is about. Saying if the man is the head, and the head of the woman, then the woman's the head of who? The children, okay? And so all he's telling the woman is that you are saved or you are rescued from this plight of no authority to have authority over your kids. And then he adds this faith, love, holiness, and self-control, because if you don't exercise those raising your kids, it's not much of a gift, right? Amen? All right. So she's rescued, okay? So let's go back and read 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and I want to back up to the beginning of the chapter. He just finished explaining the rapture in chapter 4 and tells us to comfort ourselves. And then he begins 5:1 and he says this, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." Now why? Because the Thessalonians thought they were in the tribulation period. They thought they were in the tribulation because they were being killed and beat and everything stolen, and they couldn't do anything, and they were praying, and they kept on asking Paul. They wrote a letter a couple times to Paul, and Paul's answering that letter, "Are we in the tribulation?" And what's Paul's answer? "No, you just got it bad," is what it amounts to. 5:1, "Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord," and that's the day of the Lord is a phrase he uses from the rapture on through the tribulation, on through the millennium, and so on. "The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them." Who's them? Okay, "as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that they should overtake you as a thief." Because he's talking about those in the tribulation. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or rescue, let's use the word, but to obtain rescue through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the context, what's the rescue? The rapture. Yeah, it's not talking about salvation as in going to heaven to hell. It's talking about the rescue, that we're rescued from that day of wrath that he said, talking to them, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with them. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another as just as you are also doing. So what Paul's saying is in 4, he describes the rapture. He says, comfort yourself, this world. He goes into 5, he explains what's going to happen to them and what's going to happen to us, and then tells us to be comforted in those words. Now, why comfort? Because we are not going through the day of wrath. Is anybody happy about that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He hasn't appointed us to go through the tribulation period of the coming. Just think about that. When it says he hasn't appointed us, what if he did appoint us? And what if it was heaven and hell? That wouldn't even make sense, would it? We wouldn't have free will at that point. We wouldn't even make a decision. What'd he do? Would he appoint us to go to hell? That's not what he's saying. He hasn't appointed us to the day of wrath. And so the Thessalonians mistakenly keep thinking that the tribulation is upon them. Now, I want to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. This is one that gives us more of the timing of the rapture. And listen to Paul as he answers them. Okay, 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. So what's the subject? Hey, I'm running this as a class. You know what? I think I'll bring this on down here, and then it'll feel more like a class, okay? All right. So let me say that again. Now, brethren, concerning the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together. When do we gather together with Christ? The rapture, okay? When he comes, and we talked about that last week, right? Okay? We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ, as some translations have the day of the Lord, had come. That's the beginning of the tribulation, right? Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. What's the falling away? Anybody know? Well, that's a mistranslation, okay? That's why nobody knows. Over in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart. This is the verb, okay? Will depart from the faith. Do we see that happening today? Yeah. That's why I think we're in that latter time. They'll depart from the faith. So the verb means depart. From the faith describes what that departure is. So if we go back to 2 Thessalonians in there, and let me read it again, it's the noun of that verb. And what would the noun say be? The verb is depart. What would the noun be? Departure, right? Good. Thank you. All right. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes first. What's the context of 2 Thessalonians 2? Say the rapture with me, rapture, okay? And so the departure is the rapture, okay. All right, so that day will not come unless the rapture comes first, okay, the departure, and we could even say second, since it said first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Who's that? The Antichrist, right? Do you not remember when I was still with you that I told you these things? And then he goes on. I'm going to go down to verse 9, because 6 through 8, we'd have to take a whole hour to go through. I mean, it's loaded verses. Okay, we get to 9. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I think we can safely say saved is from hell, right? And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is he talking about us? No. So he's gone from the rapture, the departure, to the man of sin, and then he explains what's going on in the tribulation. And we get to verse 13, but we, now who's he talking to? Us. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for rescue. Rescue from what? All right, the tribulation, yeah. The rescue is the rapture, right? Okay. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So again, it's comfort your heart. So he has comfort your heart in 4 in the rapture, comfort your heart in 5 where we're not destined for the rapture or for the tribulation, and then here again we comfort our hearts. Now, isn't not a comfort? I mean, what we just read gives us the timing for the rapture. When's the rapture happen? Before the tribulation, right? Before the man of sin is revealed. Now, the drag part of this is that we're raptured out before we really know who the Antichrist is. We'll probably have some good guesses, but it isn't Obama. Don't think that's happening, okay? It isn't Trump. Don't think that's happening. It's none of those things. Huh? Who's that?
She said it's Hillary.
Hillary. No comment. All right. Lecture's over. Listen, you know, as I looked at that, when we saw our verse, and could you, could you put it up to, yeah, there, thank you. And to wait for his son from heaven, and we've talked about the different ways we wait, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Man, I am so glad. You know, I'm kind of hoping that heaven has bleachers. I'm sure they're real comfortable, right? No plastic in heaven, okay? But we'll sit in the bleachers and we'll be able to watch as it unfolds and we see this whole period of time. Most people feel it's, most scholars think it's 7 years. We don't really know for sure. I mean, by timing in the Old Testament from Daniel, it seems to be pretty clear that part of it is 7 years, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. In the first 3.5 years is peace and safety. The second half is bad news. And we'll probably watch that from heaven. And we'll watch what God does in his glory to rid the earth of sin. And we, at that point, will be righteous. Really righteous. We're righteous now, aren't we? Yeah, that's what the Bible says, that we're righteous now. But we will be righteous in act and word and deed. And I can't wait for that day. And we're going to be rescued or delivered out of that day of wrath. And we can comfort ourselves with those words. So that's one of the, when we wait, that's one of the things we don't have to wait for. We've had 4 things we do have to wait for. We have 1 thing we don't, and that is the day of wrath. And he wants you and I to wait for his son. And he wants us to love him and love people because he loves us and loves people. He just wants us to be like him. And so this morning, would you evaluate in your heart and see if you fit those terms that we talked about in waiting. And then mark down in your bulletin something that you may have heard today, something that's in your mind that you need to just write down and realize this is where my heart needs to change out of conviction and not guilt, right?